Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
This is CPR. I am Pastor Neil Radical here from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and we are focusing on the subject of prayer today, the blessings of prayer, what it means to us, and what to think about when we pray. Joining with me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. He's going to be answering some of the questions that I have for him. Hopefully, you'll be benefited by our discussion today. How are you doing today, Nathaniel? How is the good fight of faith treating you on this fine day?
Doing very well, thanks.
When we talk about prayer, I think it's something that a lot of people take for granted. What do you think, Nathaniel, the general population views prayer as? Like, how do they look at prayer?
I think in our world today, you have a large number of people that actually take a look at prayer as something beyond what God has given to us. We talk a little bit about the importance of the sacraments, where God has given to us His word and His forgiveness through earthly means in baptism and the Lord's Supper. But in a large number of the churches in our world today, and the way people view prayer today, is they actually elevate prayer to a God giving something to us. When we talk about prayer, prayer is communication. And prayer is something that God gives to us that we can communicate to Him. We communicate that way to Him, but He doesn't speak back to us from the sky. He speaks to us through His Word. And a lot of times what happens is people are praying to God, and they're listening for this voice to come from heaven or through signs or from things in the world around us. And God doesn't work that way. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to us, but it doesn't impart God's grace to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot of times we talk about the means of grace and the way in which the gospel comes to us, like you were saying so well there. So if you were to meet like an average guy on the street, you know, and you ask him about prayer, how do you think he would respond to that question? If you ask them, well, what is prayer? What do you think of prayer?
Well, my guess is that a lot of people, probably if you were to ask that question, they probably don't even understand what prayer is. They probably aren't even familiar with the concept of prayer, the average person on the street. Now, again, the average Christian, I think, is going to come at it from that different perspective, where they almost view it as a magical thing through which God works and He gives to us His grace, even though prayer is the way that we communicate to God. And what I think is wonderful about prayer is that through the privilege of prayer, God actually communicates to us the fact that we are incapable of doing anything on our own, that we have to come to Him because He is the one who is able to give us all good things, just like a child would come to their father. Yeah. A child is unable to receive this on their own, and so it's a humbling thing. You might not like to go to somebody else and say, hey, you know, I need help with this. But the fact that you do demonstrates, I can't do this on my own. I need your help with it. And we talk about how, and you've probably had this happen too, where somebody has come up to you and they'll say, hey, you know, Pastor, why should I pray to God when He already knows everything that's going on in my life? If He already knows what's going on in my life, why do I have to pray to Him? And that's a good question. But it's answered in the fact that, yes, God does already know what's going on in your life. He knows what you need. He knows what you're struggling with. But He gives you the privilege of prayer for your benefit, not for His.
Yeah. It's almost like when you're teaching the kids to say please and thank you, you know they got to eat. You know that the food's on the table, but you want them to say please because you want to hand it to them. You want to give it to them. You want to be grateful for the work that their mother put into cooking it, or you know, what you spent the money on, and you want to thank you as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's that idea of training them, to getting them to realize, hey, I need this help. And we want them to recognize that and where to go, the good places to go in order to receive those things that we need in life.
Yeah. So a couple follow-ups to that point. You know, you talk to the guy on the street. First of all, just from a statistical standpoint, where do you think our American culture is today? Because you kind of made it sound like most people, if not all people besides Christians on the street, aren't going to have any idea with prayer. You know, and I would tend to agree that our nation is probably straying away from Christianity. But I guess, you know, one of my other questions I was going to ask you about today, Nathaniel, is most people would probably say, if they knew about prayer, like you were suggesting, is they probably say, well, it doesn't make a difference who I pray to. God is all, you know, all gods are the same. You know, so how do you respond to someone when they say that?
Well, and that's an excellent point. When you talk about prayer, prayer is communication. But let's say you have this person who who believes that the one who's going to answer their prayer, for example, you go across the ocean to India, and you run across this man in India, and he believes that the one who's going to answer his prayer is this this monkey human being named Hanuman. Well, this monkey being, this statue that he's praying to, number one, it can't hear his prayer, and number two, it can't answer his prayer. And so you get into this issue of, you know, you can communicate, you can pray to anything that you want to. The question is, what is it that is going to be able to hear that prayer and then answer that prayer?
And okay, so, but the atheist is going to say, okay, well, you can't see or hear an answer from God, your God. So how would you respond to that?
I would say, yes, I do hear his answer in his word. And you're right. You know, the atheist is going to say, hey, prayer isn't anything at all, because he doesn't have anything that he believes in as far as a higher being. He himself is the higher being. So to some degree, an atheist is going to have prayer, but it's going to be self-communication. You know, he's looking to himself as his or her own God. And you're right. True prayer is and can only be in the name of the triune God, the only true God of all the world. And so you have in these religions of the world, every religion has prayer connected to it. But if the God that is being prayed to doesn't exist, then there really isn't prayer.
Well, I think that makes sense too, because I think once in a while you'll hear of even the atheists kind of throwing up that desperation prayer, the Hail Mary. So, speaking of Hail Mary, you know, the whole idea of praying to saints, you know, that comes up quite often, especially in Christian denominations. So what do you think about the whole, or how would you kindly address someone of the Roman Catholic faith who might say, well, why can't we pray to the saints, such as Mary?
That is a wonderful thing to go over, because there are so many people who view people who have passed on in this life as being up in heaven. And with all the false ideas and concepts that are out there, even within Christianity, you know, you go to this funeral and you hear this song playing in the background, and the song is saying something along the lines of, hey, there are holes in the floor of heaven and grandma's looking down on me, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and you're right. So there's this concept that we have within certain Christian denominations of people saying, hey, you know, I'm going to pray to grandma or Aunt Betty, because they're up in heaven and they, you know, they love me, they care about me, they always heard the questions, the concerns that I had when they were alive and on earth, and so certainly they're going to hear my requests, and they'll kind of be a positive influence on God to bring my requests before him. And there are a couple of really good Bible passages that deal with the whole issue of praying to saints, and one of them is found in the Old Testament, where the prophet Isaiah says, though Abraham is not mindful of them and Israel does not acknowledge them. So here's Isaiah, who's looking back hundreds of years in the future and referring to the great patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac. And he says, you know, they don't know what's going on in the lives of my people in 700 BC. Why? Because Abraham is dead and gone. Now, he is with the Lord, but he doesn't have knowledge or understanding of what is currently going on here in this life.
So, to interrupt that point, what about when you have Saul consult a medium and they bring Solomon back up from the dead? Because okay. I've heard that people argue that as well.
Sure.
Like, well, how does Solomon know what's going on if he's dead? That's kind of a tough question.
It is a tough question, because we don't know exactly what it was that was taking place. the way that I've always viewed that section is that God allowed that vision to take place. I don't know that I would say that it was specifically Samuel, but that God allowed a message to get through from God to Saul through this witch who was using idolatrous practices that Saul believed in order to get a message to him. And that is a very, very unique situation in the history of God's people of the Old Testament. But again, the prescriptive passages that we have both in the Old and the New Testament tell us very clearly that the people who die are gone. They are not aware of what is taking place on this earth. And if you think about it, that's a really wonderful thing, because if I have my grandma and my grandma has died, she's gone to be with the Lord, and she's up there in heaven and she's looking down on the things that are going on in my life. I'll tell you what, 90% of the things that she sees that are going on in my life and the trouble that I'm going through is not going to be a pleasant thing.
Not going to be heaven.
Exactly. That is not what heaven is. That's not what God wants for us when we are in his kingdom with him in eternity. And I'll tell you what, if that's what heaven is like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, why would anybody want that? And
right.
It is a selfish thing. We want to feel like we're still connected to our loved ones, that they're still connected to us. But it's a very, very selfish thing. And it's not what we should want for our loved ones, in beyond the fact that it's not what God wants for them. And that's why he says, hey, I don't want you to pray to your loved ones. I want you to pray to me. I want you to have the same view of me as your Savior, as your Lord, as your God, that you do to your grandmother, to your aunt. And he is like that for us. That's why he says, come to me, pray to me. I will hear you and I will answer you.
Well, I think too, when you're talking about the situation of those who have, those who, like your grandma, for example, who you said was with the Lord, you know, the scriptures so many times talk about them falling asleep. You know, Ephesians talks about them falling asleep in the Lord. And how many times in the word, you know, you think with Tabitha or Lazarus, he spoke to them and they woke up from the dead. You know, he literally lays them from the dead. You know, you think about the situation with Samuel. I know I said Solomon. I was testing you there, buddy.
You did say Samuel to begin with.
I know, with Samuel and Saul. Didn't Samuel say, why did you wake me from my rest? I think that's what he says right away when the medium tried to consult him, which the Lord obviously allowed to bring judgment on Saul, like you said. You know, when you look at the whole situations of the comfort that not being living in this world once we're in heaven, I think that's the joy. Heaven is without sin. And so I think when we talk about prayer, you know, you already mentioned, kind of summarize here, what prayer is, what people generally think of prayer, and why it makes a difference who we pray to. You know, I've run into so many people that talk, you know, especially those of the Catholic faith, you know, and I pray for them too, because, you know, that they're trying to pray to Mary, you know, Mary's Magnificat in Luke 1, where she talks about my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. You know, the Lord is showing her through her prayer of thanksgiving that the Lord would count her worthy to give birth to the Savior. You know, she's showing her need for the Messiah. You know, so I think when it comes to prayer, the Lord really does give us a lot of direction of prayer. And that's my next question I want to ask you is, throughout the Word of God, what direction for prayer does our Father in Heaven give us as far as, you know, frequency, how we should pray, those kinds of thoughts?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that the Bible gives us. The scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, are full of examples of prayer. We have prayers that are recorded of believers, both of the Old and the New Testament. One of my favorite places to go as an example of prayer is the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, while not a very familiar book in the Old Testament, it's a historical book, but it is full of both long and short prayers that Nehemiah prays to the Lord on behalf of himself and his people as the kingdom is being rebuilt after the Babylonian captivity, moving on toward the time of Christ. So that's a really neat section that deals with exactly what kind of prayers were being asked. And I think that there is this tendency that if you talk about the person on the street again and what a person thinks about prayer and what they pray for, if you take the average person on the street and maybe even the average Christian and you jot down the things that they pray for on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you're going to find as you take those percentages that probably 90% of all of the things that they pray for are physical requests. And so if you jump ahead to the New Testament, and you have the what we call the model prayer that Jesus gave to us in the Lord's Prayer, and you go through those petitions that Jesus says, this is how you should pray. His disciples came to him. He said, hey, John's disciples, they asked him how to pray, and John taught them, we want you to teach us how to pray. And so Jesus says, okay, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, if you take a look at those seven petitions sandwiched in between the introduction and the conclusion, you have one of those petitions that deals with physical requests. Give us this day our daily bread. The rest of them all emphasize spiritual needs, spiritual requests. And so you've got the exact opposite. The average person says, hey, 90% of my prayers, I'm going to make physical requests. And what does Jesus do? He says, hey, about 20%, maybe 15% of your prayer, your request should be physical. The other 85% should be spiritual. And do you know why that is? Because the Lord tells us that we should pray according to His will. Now, we don't know exactly what God's will is when it comes to physical blessings. We get sick. We get cancer. We have a loved one who's going through a horrible time physically. We don't know exactly what God is going to do in connection with that physical burden.
Which is why some people get upset when they say, the Lord didn't answer my prayer. My loved one died. Why would I believe in a God that doesn't answer prayer?
Correct. And it's not that He's not answering prayer. He is simply not answering prayer in the way that we want Him to answer prayer. So you think about your child. You know, you have a young son, and your young son comes up to you and says, hey, Dad, I want an M16 for Christmas. And you think about this, okay, you know, he's 7 years old, M16, probably not a good idea at 7 years old. You know, we're going to start him off with something small. And so what? You tell him what? You say, no.
Depends on what country you live in, too, though.
Well, okay, sure it does. Sure it does. But,
no,
but you know where
that's
we are.
That's what's going on in other countries, isn't it?
But
your point is, yeah, no, you're not going to say, well, you can't have this. Not just like I wouldn't give him the keys to my car, either.
Correct. You're going to say, hey, not right now. Maybe later, but not right now. You know, there's certain things I want to explain to you. I'm going to take you to a gun class. I'm going to show you what a gun can do. So you go through that whole process. God's answer isn't always yes immediately when we want it. Sometimes He does answer yes. Sometimes He says, not right now, but later on. And sometimes He says, you know what? No, not ever. And we have to understand that. But let's flip the page. That's true when it comes to physical blessings. Is there any spiritual blessing that God the Father doesn't want you to have?
Well, He absolutely says, always, you know, we pray, or if we're praying without ceasing, we should be praying for the patience, for the humility each day, for the guidance, for the direction. And then that faith coming from the Word of God is going to focus and facilitate our prayer to know what to pray for. You know, as the disciples asked, teach us how to pray. I'm showing you as you're learning from me what to pray for, the things that are most important as you're facing persecution and all those other things in life. And I think you're hitting on the reason why prayer is such a blessing. I know I'm guilty of this too, that I don't make as readily use of it as I could or should, just to, you know, get worried or you get in a busy day and you think, oh man, I got to get this done, and I can't get caught up in everything I want to get caught up on. It just seems like you get in that kind of depression and gloom, like, it's all weighing on your shoulders. And I think, like you were saying, the blessing of prayer is going to the Lord, even if He says no, and realize, okay, well, I'm going to let be up to Him and His will and how He decides my day should go, or my week, or my life.
Well, I think it's just ironic that we as human beings, we spend so much time in prayer on that you know, 85% of our prayer life on the things that we're not sure what God wants for us. And we spend so little time on requesting the things that we know God does want for us. It should be the exact opposite. If you know your Father wants to give it to you, you should go and ask Him. And all of these spiritual blessings, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Ephesians. He says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine.
Yeah.
You know, God is, he's capable of doing all of these things for us, and we focus on all these things that we think we want, we need, instead of saying, Lord, you know what's best for me. You've told me all of these spiritual blessings are what you want me to have. I'm going to pray for those things. Grant those things to me. And I know that you are exceedingly, abundantly able to give me these things, not just the things that I know that I ask, but even the things that I imagine that are good for me. He's able to do that. And that's one of the beautiful things about prayer, is recognizing that God is able to grant our requests. It's not
so
like
that on that last comment, the last point, the last question I want to ask you is, so how can an individual, how can I be stronger in my faith and prayer life, and also in such a way to encourage others in a godly prayer life as well? In other words, how do I improve on that? Because if he's able to abundantly excel in all these different ways in answering our prayers, how can I be stronger in asking him?
Well, I think it goes back to the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. Here's Jesus, and he teaches his disciples how to pray, and he says, here's the petitions. These are the things that you should focus on in your prayer life. And what does he get to at the very end? He says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord reminds us that he is able to grant the requests that we have. Prayer comes with rich promises from God. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. And a lot of times we lose sight of that power, don't we? We focus on the things that we have asked for and maybe we have not seen fulfilled because we were looking for our own outcome instead of the Lord's outcome. And a lot of times if we back up and we take a look at that again, we say, you know what? Wow, this is what I wanted out of this prayer, but this is how the Lord answered me, and this is a whole lot better than what I could have come up with.
Yeah.
Then
sure.
We begin to say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, and I'm going to bring my request to you. But we kind of have to open up our eyes to see what it is that the Lord really wants to give to us, what he does give to us, what he has given to us through our prayers, and even in some cases, in spite of the things that we have asked for, how he gives those things to us. And one of my favorite passages, which I love to think about when it comes to the topic of prayer, is how, again, the Apostle Paul told the believers in Rome, he said, he, that is God the Father, who did not spare his only Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? In other words, Paul says, if God the Father sacrificed his only begotten Son into death for you in order to save you, is there anything else that he won't give to you? And boy, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's what I need to be reminded of in order to say, you know what? I am definitely going to the Lord in prayer, because look at what he does for me. Look at how he grants those requests. And why would I not want to take advantage of what the Lord offers to me through this beautiful, wonderful opportunity of prayer?
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for your time today, Nathaniel. It's a good summary of what prayer is and how it's a special blessing to us and why it continues to be such an important tool that the Lord blesses us and gives us with, that we can use each and every day of the believer. Thank you all for joining us today, and the Lord continue to be with you and bless you as you grow in your faith through the reading and hearing of God's word, and how he continues to bless us as a Father in heaven. We can ask him knowing confidently that he hears us. Lord be with you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.